John 17. In order that I may finish this chapter, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the last verses, and then dwell, as time allows, on other thoughts in particular. In John chapter 17, let's look again at verse 20. He has already prayed once that the disciples may be one. Now he's going to pray it again and again, and he's going to tell us why he prays it. Verse 20, neither for these only do I pray, that is, the apostles, but for them also that believe on me through their word, that they may all be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou didst send me. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given unto them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfected into one, that the world may know that thou didst send me, and love them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world knew thee not, but I knew thee, and these knew that thou didst send me, and I made known unto them thy name, and will make it known, that the love wherewith thou lovest me may be in them, and I in them. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Father, thou hast loved the world, and thy Son's prayer has revealed to us just how he has gone about to save the world. We thank you for all of these revelations. Our God, thou dost know that apart from these things, we would know nothing about the world's lost condition, about your love for the world, about thy Son's death for the world. But now we do know. We are thankful that as thou didst place a sun in the sky, that we may see the things of earth and understand, thou didst send the Son of God from heaven, that we might understand the spiritual things which are incomprehensible to man, apart from the Son coming from thee and telling us these things. For all the revelations, our God, we give thee thanks. Thou dost know that in spite of this, there are some who are still in darkness. Thy Son said, I am the light of the world, and yet there are some who are still in darkness, and he is light that shines above the brightness of the sun, and still there are some in darkness. We pray that what he has prayed shall come to pass this day, that thy Spirit shall work in the hearts of those who have eyes but they see not, who have ears but they hear not, and thou shalt convict of sin and righteousness and judgment, and that in them shall be realized all things necessary for them to be a part of those that belong to Christ. For us, Father, it is not only a great undertaking, it is an impossible undertaking. Thy Son said that, with men, it is impossible. But our consolation is this, he also said, with God, all things are possible. And so for blindness to eyes that are darkened, death that is out of our hands, to do anything for, impart life, our God, and reveal thyself as he who once again gives light. God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, has shined into our hearts. We pray, our Father, that thou shalt shine into the hearts of all who are here this morning, that they may see the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Thou dost know what is necessary to accomplish this. So, our Father, we pray that thou shalt do that for us today. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. The Lord Jesus, in this chapter, mentions the name of his Father 6 times. 4 times without any descriptive adjective, 2 times with 2 descriptive adjectives. He prays to his Father because that is the relationship that exists between himself and the one to whom he prays. He is the Son. He prays to his Father. And so he opens the prayer, Father, the hour has come, glorify thy Son. He prays, Father, because he is the Son. We, when we first come to God, do not pray, Father. We say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And God, who hears us, saves us, and we are born into the family of God, and then we say, our Father. But the Lord Jesus was without sin. The Lord Jesus was that holy thing, and he is the Son of God. From the time that he uttered his first word, he could say, Father. But the Lord Jesus is not only speaking of his Father in the relationship that exists between them, but he is, when he describes him as Holy Father and Righteous Father, is, without any intent of doing so, he is revealing to us his innate knowledge of the name and the nature of God. He said, no one knoweth the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever he willeth to reveal him. And so when the Son prays to his Father, it is because he is the Son. And when he describes the Father as holy and righteous, it is because he knows the Father, and he came to reveal the Father, and he reveals him by simply describing him as holy and righteous, because the Lord Jesus knows this one to whom he is praying. When he speaks of God as holy and righteous, he is telling us that this is but a part of the purpose for which he came to earth. The Lord Jesus came to reveal the Father. The Father spoke in time past unto the patriarchs in the prophets. In these last days, he's spoken unto us in his Son. And the Son came to reveal the Father. And he reveals him as holy, and he reveals him as righteous. Now that's so important. Because people who say, I know God, if you know God, then you must understand that God is holy. That if you were in heaven, the sounds that would be reverberating around the corridors of heaven would be, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Those are the words that fill heaven. And the Lord Jesus says, holy Father. And not only so, but if you were in heaven in the coming day, you would hear angels declaring the righteousness of God. Holy is what God is in his inmost nature. God is separate from all evil and impurity and sin. He is holy, and for that reason, when the Lord Jesus wants his own to be kept from sin and contamination, he says, Holy Father, I want you to keep them. I have kept them. God is holy, separate from all evil. And the Lord Jesus prays, Father, Holy Father, I want you to keep them from all evil. And that is how the Father undertakes in the prayer that the Lord Jesus has made to him. But now, the holiness of God is what he is, and the Lord Jesus would have his own like the Father. He would have us to be kept from sin. And sin is divisiveness. We do not think that being contrary to one another is absence of holiness, but it is. The Lord Jesus said, I want you to keep them that they may be one, even as we are one. We do not usually think of divisiveness as sin, but it is sin. And the Lord Jesus says, Holy Father, let them be one. We understand this better. He says, Holy Father, keep them from Satan. Keep them from the evil one. Keep them from evil practices. We understand that. But when the Lord Jesus says, Holy Father, he wants us kept from the sin of divisiveness. He wants us to be kept from the sin of corruption that is in the world through lust. And when he says, Righteous Father, he wants us to understand all the acts of God that had been performed by the Father in the world. Now think on that. Do you know God as holy? Do you know God as righteous? If you dare to say, I know that God is holy, then how could you associate God with anything of the sin that is in the world? The whole teaching that John, the beloved apostle, learned from Christ is summed up this way in his first epistle. He said, And this is the message which we have heard from him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. He is holy. He is absolute light. There are no gray areas in his life. And yet some speak of God, and they would speak of God as if somehow he were tainted by sin. But God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is holy. You say, well, yes, I believe that I can accept that, that there is a being that is absolutely without sin, that is perfect in holiness. Fine. Let me try you on the next descriptive adjective. Do you believe that God is righteous? You say, what does that mean? It says this twice in the scriptures. I told you that heaven was filled with the word holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. But if you read in the book of Revelation, you will find also that angelic beings are saying concerning God that all of his acts are righteous, that his judgments are righteous. And in the book of Revelation, we see the wrath of God revealed from heaven. We see man being crushed and destroyed and annihilated. And when this happens, when the judgment of God falls, angelic beings in heaven are saying, True and righteous are thy judgments, O God. Now, think of all the things that have happened in the world. Think of the things that have happened in your life. And tell me, can you say, God is righteous? He has never made a mistake. You say, I do not know. Then, that is why the Lord Jesus came to reveal the Father. And when God does things that are hard, that are inexplicable, it takes faith to say, Thou art righteous. When we see God and he reveals truth to us, God is holy. And what we struggle with to acknowledge as to the holiness and righteousness of God, the Lord Jesus says, Holy Father, righteous Father. And he came to reveal the Father, and he reveals him as, in his relationship, his being the Son, whom the Father sent into the world, and he revealed this Father who sent him as holy, and he revealed the Father as righteous. And I must add this, that the same adjective that is used to describe the Father is used to describe the Son. Listen to the Son as he prays. He says, Righteous Father, the world knew thee not, but I knew thee. Listen to the first epistle of John. It says, Jesus Christ, the righteous. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Jesus Christ, the righteous. And so the same adjective that is used to describe the Father is used to describe the Son, because in nature the Father and Son are the same. The Lord Jesus is righteous. The Lord Jesus is holy. You do not realize it, but when the Lord Jesus said, I sanctify myself, it is simply the verb of the adjective holy. The Lord Jesus is holy, and when you use the word sanctify, that is the verb of the noun or the adjective holy or holiness. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is holy. He is called that holy thing, and he is called the righteous one. And the Father is called holy, and the Father is called righteous, and the Son is called holy, and the Son is called righteous. Then you say, then you are telling me that I must acknowledge that Jesus Christ is as sinless and as holy as the Father. Absolutely, it is essential. In him is no sin. He knew no sin. He did no sin. The Lord Jesus is holy as the Father is holy. You say, well, certainly during his lifetime, he must have done something that was wrong. His pronouncements, his decisions, his actions in the world, certainly some of them must have been wrong. By no means. He did always the things that pleased his Father. He is Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the right one in the words that he speaks, in the works that he performs, in the thoughts that he thinks, in the plan that he sets before men. Jesus Christ is the righteous one as the Father is the righteous one. You say, well, if what you are telling me is so, then the Lord Jesus is God the Son, as the Father is God the Father. And that is what the whole Bible has been trying to reveal unto us, that there is God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this is the claim that Jesus Christ makes. And that is why it is essential, and grasp this. It says, this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou didst send. Can you imagine someone saying that eternal life is knowing God, a supreme being, and a creature named Jesus? But the Lord Jesus said, they must know you, and they must know me, or there is no eternal life. The Lord Jesus is constantly claiming deity in the Gospel of John. And if you read the book of Revelation, you would understand that he is deity, and he is worshipped in heaven as he was worshipped on earth. From the time that he came into the world, when he was a babe in the manger, the wise men came and they prostrated themselves before him and they worshiped him. Why? Because the Lord Jesus is God manifest in the flesh, and because the Father also instructed angels to worship him when he came into the world. And when he bringeth his firstborn into the world, he said, and let all the angels of God worship him. And when he came into the world, he was worshipped by God's angels, and he was worshipped by men, because he is the Son of God. He is desirous and he is deserving of honor as the Father. He said that all men might honor the Son even as they honor the Father. And this chapter discloses why the Bible teaches the deity of the Son. He who speaks as he does in John 17 is of necessity God the Son, or some madman. But that is all I can tell you concerning that. I must tell you a little bit about the last verses. When the Lord Jesus says, righteous Father, here is what it actually says. Now listen to it and see from the intonation of my voice if you can understand the thought of Christ as he's praying. He says, righteous Father, and the world knew thee not. Righteous Father, and the world knew thee not. Here is the world, and the Lord Jesus comes and reveals to the world the righteousness of the Father, and the Lord Jesus says, and the world knew thee not. It says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And now the Lord Jesus says, Father, you are righteous and you are holy, and the world knew thee not. Which brings me to this description of those who are worldlings, who are those who do not believe to the Lord Jesus. And I want to give you two descriptions, the description of those that belong to Christ and the description of those who do not belong to Christ. And will you permit the Spirit of God to search your soul and let the description fit you that is fitting of you as the Lord Jesus speaks. First of all, he says this, the world knew thee not. And so you do not know the Father. The Lord Jesus says, I'm praying for them that they may make known unto the world three things. Listen to them now. He prays for the world, and he does not pray for those who already have something. He prays for those who are lacking something. And he says he wants the world to believe that the Father sent the Son. He wants the world to know that the Father sent the Son. And he wants the world to know that the Father loved Christ's own, even as he loved Christ. Having told you those things, it means that the world is not in possession of these things for which Christ prays that they may come into possession. First of all, they do not know the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. They do not believe that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And they do not know that the Father loves Christ's own the same way that he loved his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of the absence of that knowledge in man. And so first of all, do you believe that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world? Do you believe that the Father is righteous in all his ways, in all things that had ever happened since the beginning of time? Are all of God's ways right ways? And if you say, I cannot say that, then you have placed yourself among those that are described by the Lord Jesus Christ in the way that I just related to you. First of all, you do not believe that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. The only way any person can believe that is by the Spirit of God revealing it to him in his heart. How could you look upon a man that looked the same as you, and he says to you, I came down from heaven from my Father. I am come into the world to save sinners. You are looking, and all you can see is another man like yourself. The only way that you can understand that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world is if the Holy Spirit of God revealed it unto you. And I rejoice that in the Bible, some had that revelation imparted to them. The Lord Jesus said, who am I? And Simon Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. The Father has revealed it unto thee, not flesh and blood. The Lord Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said, yea, Lord, I have believed that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, even he that cometh into the world. And so the Lord Jesus made these assertions, and Martha said, I believe it. And when Peter was asked, who am I? He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And a description of those who are not of God. They do not believe that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And so I say to Martha, do you believe that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world? She would say, of course. He's the Christ. He's the Son of God who was to come into the world. Of course I believe. Do you believe, Peter? Peter said, why, you are the Christ. You are the Son of God. Of course I believe. This is what is essential And yet, no worldling is described this way by Christ. That is the undertaking of the church. He sends the church forth to preach these truths and to live these truths that the world may believe. And that is why he prays for a divine oneness, that the world may look at the church and say, this is of God. It happened in Egypt. When Moses was performing miracles and the Egyptian magicians were trying to imitate him, finally, when life came from the dead, they said, this is the finger of God. And in like manner, if the church ever manifested this divine oneness, then the world would say, these people are of God, and God sent his Son to be their Savior, and God sent the Son to be my Savior as well. We have failed, but it's true, and that's why Christ prays that we might be one, that the world may believe. Now, the church talks. I'm speaking this morning, but collectively, we interact, we manifest the divine oneness, and then the world believes, and the world knows because of the behavior of the church, because of the indwelling Spirit of God in the church, manifesting this unity. The world looks on that unity, and the world says, I believe because I've seen in men the miraculous works of God. I've seen holiness. I've seen godliness. I've seen righteousness in their lives. And because I see it, I believe that these men are of God. Nicodemus saw it. He came to Jesus by night, and he said unto him, he said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a man sent from God, because no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. He had examined the Lord Jesus Christ, and he said, you are of God. No man can do these miracles except God be with him. And I say that the unity for which Christ prays, no such unity and love among men can be manifested unless the Spirit of God is imparting the power to bring about this divine unity. And when it is brought about, then the world looks on and they say, men of God, we know that you are of God, because such love and unity cannot be manifested by men unless God is with you. And that's what the Lord Jesus is praying for. And yet, the worldling, this is the description of you, that you do not believe that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. You do not know the Father. You do not know the Son. You do not know the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ. But more than that, you do not know it, and you have not received the truth. Why, anyone would know it academically if they had ears and listened to what I said this morning. I told you again and again, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. You say, well, then I know that. But the Lord Jesus, speaking of others, and I will tell you one of their descriptions, the Lord Jesus said, the words that you have given me, Father, I have given them, and they have believed them, and they have received them, and they have known of a truth that you sent me into the world. Think of that. The Lord Jesus speaks certain words, and his own listen to those words, and they receive them, and they embrace them, and they comprehend experientially that all of the things that Christ said are true. And therefore, the Lord Jesus said, these are mine. And the world hears the same words, and they hear them as words, and that is all. And they say, yes, I can tell you the plan of salvation. I can tell you that God loved the world and sent his Son, and he died for sinners on the cross, and he's the Son of God. Yet, tell you all of those things. The Lord Jesus said, I gave them the words that you gave me, Father, and they received those words. That is salvation. You must hear them, yes. But as a sinner, you must say, I receive with an open heart those welcome words that Christ came into the world to save sinners. Paul was a sinner. I am a sinner. I receive his words as truth. When you do that, and you pass from this description of the lost to the description of the saved, you know the words of God, yes. And you have received the words of God, yes. And another description among the saved, they have kept thy word. You see what has happened? The Lord Jesus has spoken the word. You understand that these words are not the words of a mere man, but they are words from God. And you say, I am receiving those words. And having received those words, you've been made a new creature in Christ Jesus. And then you keep those words, all the words that the man, righteous living and holy living, you keep those words. That is the way the Lord Jesus describes his own. Now, another description of the worldling, those that do not belong to Christ. It says, first of all, the world knew thee not. The world doesn't know the Father. And the world does not know that the Father sent the Son. They do not know the eternal fatherhood of God, the eternal sonship of the Son. They do not know that the world is in need of redemption and it can only be provided through Jesus Christ. They do not know that. And the Lord Jesus says this, they are of the world. You were born a worldling, you are still a worldling, and you shall die a worldling until what time the words of Jesus Christ are recognized as the words of God the Father, and you receive those words. And then the Lord Jesus said, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And another description is this, you do not know how much the Father loves the Son, and you do not know how much the Father loves the church. Let me ask you a question. Now, be honest with me. If I told you that God the Father loved me equally the way that he loves his Son, would you believe that? You say, I can understand why he should love his Son, but I do not understand why he would love you. I will accept that he loves you relatively, but I will not accept that he loves you as he loved his Son. The Lord Jesus said, I am going to manifest thy name, that, and he speaks about the love with which you loved me may be in them. And he says, Father, I want them to be one that the world may know that you love them even as you love me. You say, he said it, didn't he? Yes. He said, I want the world to know that you love the church, them, my own, that the world is loved, that the world might know that you love them even as you love me. You say, that is something that's incomprehensible. Why, that is nothing but absolute grace for God to love those that are like unto men that I know. Yes, and that's what he wants you to understand. For by grace are ye saved through faith. That God's love is commended unto men, not because of worth or merit, but because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God the Father can love us sinners saved by his grace, the way he loves his Son, because he is the God of all grace, and because he sends that salvation on the basis of grace, unmerited favor. That is what he wants us to know. And he says, I want the world to realize that. And if the world is gripped by that truth, that the Father loves the Son, and that is a staggering thought, the Father loves the Son, and then the Father can love lost sinners who receive Christ as Savior the way that he loves his Son, that is another thought more staggering, and that is what he wants the world to know. And if the world sees two things, first, that the Father loves the Son, and that the Father loves the church as he loves the Son, then the Father can love me the same way. And I am determined to get in on that love. I'm not going to be described any longer as devoid of knowledge of that love, of the mission of Jesus Christ, of his person, of his work. I'm determined to be described in another way. And that is what the Lord Jesus wants to happen. He wants the world to look on the church. And he wants the love of God to be manifested in the church and for the world to say, I do not want to remain in the world anymore. I want to belong to the people of God. I want to be loved by God. I want to know God. I want to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you do that, then you will find that this is something of the past. I was a guilty sinner, but Jesus died for me. And then no longer are you described as one who does not have eternal life, who does not know the love of the Father for the Son, who does not know the love of the Father for the church, even as he loved the Son, who does not know that Christ came into the world to save sinners, you say, at one time I was in ignorance, but now I am not ignorant anymore. Now I know I am in possession of eternal life. Why? Because this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou didst send. All right. These are some of the thoughts that Christ is manifesting to us in this chapter. And then he says, Father, I'm praying now for those whom thou hast given me, that they may all be one. Keep this in mind. He prays for the apostles, first of all. And then he prays that they may all be one. The believers of the first century and second century and now the 20th century, that they may all be one. And then he says, Father, I will that all of these children of God of all the ages be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. I see. And I emphasized some weeks back that the Lord Jesus is telling us that he wants his church to be with him in heaven, that they may behold his glory. But do you not understand that when Christ says he wants all his church to be in heaven to behold his glory, then it means that all the Christians of all the ages are going to be with one another in heaven beholding his glory. And then I thought back, because I know of the 1900s and the 1800s and the 1700s, and I thought back over my ancestors, the ones that I knew believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I thought of that. Well, I'm going to see them. I'm going to be with them. Yes, my purpose of being in heaven is to be with the Lord Jesus Christ and to see him. But I am also going to be with the saints of all the ages, and with them I am going to behold the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for that reason, I thought back over the life of my mother and my sister and my father and my grandparents. I thought over all of their lives, and I said to myself, now how many of them will be with me in heaven to behold the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ? And for that reason, I was ever so interested in anything that ever came from their lips concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And some I've heard for myself. I've heard the confession of faith from the lips of my mother. I believe that I'm going to be with her in heaven, and I shall see her. I've heard the confession of faith from the lips of my sister, and thank God for a man who visited my father on his deathbed, and it came to me many years later that my father professed faith in Christ before he died. I did not hear it with my ears. I was not saved at that time, but I did. And there was an ungodly grandfather that I had who was a sinner his whole life long. And then one of his daughters told me this, that before he died, he said, Lord, have mercy on my soul. And they were precious words to my ears. And so all of these, in time past, if they touch the hem of Christ's garment, then, yes, I'm going to be in heaven, but I'm going to be with them. And it's like this dear man who was some 80 years of age before he got saved. And this friend of mine went and spoke to him, told him the way of salvation. And he had been a sinner his whole life long. And when he told him the way of salvation, he finally trusted Christ as Savior. And then he said this, even though he would be out and not coherent at times, he came to himself and he said this. He said, thank God. He said, I'm saved, and now I will see my mother in heaven. Think of that. Here is this man. He wanted to see Jesus. He was saved, but he knew that if he were not saved, his mother was going to be in heaven, but he was not going to be there. But now he knew that though he had been a sinner, he had trusted Christ, and as his mother had trusted Christ, she was going to be in heaven. He had trusted Christ. He was going to be in heaven, and so with his mother, they would be in heaven and would behold the glory of the Lord Jesus. And I'm looking forward to seeing all of these ancestors that are kin to me, and also Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and all the saints of old. We are going to be in heaven together beholding the glory of Christ. And the Lord Jesus wants you there. Will you be present? Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we think of the folly of the world, hope in this life, and the world to come, and some will not come. Thy Son said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, Father, we who have come understand about that rest, about the peace of God that passeth understanding. We are thankful for the joy and the peace that has filled our hearts since we've come to Christ. We have a knowledge of Thee and of Thy Son. We know the love of God. We know that Christ died for our sins on the cross and rose again. We know these things not only because we've heard them, but because we have received His words and have known that they are the words of God, and we have believed them in truth. And it is Christ's desire and our desire that all who are here may believe the same way. And so by Thy Spirit, Father, would You this day call them to call upon the name of the Lord and then say, I am no longer of the world. I belong to Christ. And all the hope, that picture of joy that lies before the church, also lies before me, because I am no longer of the world. I belong to the Lord Jesus. Would You, Father, by Thy Spirit, enable all the hearts of men to do that here, this day. Hear us, we ask of Thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.